Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from John's Gospel, the 12th chapter, verses 20 through 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We would see Jesus. Can you imagine being there with Jesus, knowing that he was going to speak to the crowd, and then having people arrive, a group of Greeks, having them come to Philip and say, "We would see Jesus." Such a marvelous statement. We would see Jesus. And so, of course, they go and tell Jesus. And then he begins to speak to the crowd. And I'm sure as a part of that, in today's world, we know that many people, maybe you and me, but at times we say, I would see Jesus. I need to see Jesus. I need to be in the presence of Jesus. I need to just know that Jesus is right there with me. I know that he is. I have faith that he is, but I need to see Jesus. And then we can ask ourselves, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus in this present age? Where do we find Jesus today? If you look at this passage, it gives us some direction and guidance, great direction and guidance as to that. I think the first place that we would see Jesus would be with those who hate their lives. Those who hate their lives. Jesus speaks to that in particular. What an interesting way to phrase it. Those who hate their lives in this present age. We talk about hating your life, and we realize the reasons behind that and the solutions behind that are gigantic and enormous. If you're talking about substance abuse, if you're talking about just criminality, if you're talking about people who have suffered death and loss and disease and all the other things, when you talk about people who are just upset because the world's troubles just pile up on top of us, and some people have a hard time coping with all that and the stress of modern life and everything else. And so you look at that and go, how can we solve all of those things? How can we help in the midst of those things? How can we be there for people who have determined that they really hate their lives? But I believe the scripture says that if we go to those who hate their lives, we'll find that Jesus is there. Jesus is there with those who hate their lives. And that doesn't mean that we come in with all of our satchels of all the answers and say, here's the answer, here's the answer. All we do is go to where Jesus is. Jesus is there with those who hate their lives. And perhaps we can help and perhaps we can't. Years ago, I was visiting a nursing home. A man was there, older gentleman. I think he was a resident of the nursing home. And he was playing his banjo for the crowd there. And they were just loving it. And he did such a good job. And he was all into it and everything else. And then when he finished, I went up to him and just started talking to him. And I said, and what kind of work did you do? And he said, I was a specialty engineer. I thought, specialty engineer? I thought, that must be a fancy name for something. I don't know what that would be. But anyway, I said, okay, what's a specialty engineer? And he said, well, I was an engineer for the train company. And he said, but I was a specialty engineer. He said, I would ride the trains when they had to go over the Saluda grade. If you've ever been over there and driven up the Saluda grade. He said the freight trains had to go over the Saluda grade, and you had to know how to do it, or the train would stall, and there'd be a terrible situation because it's hard to get them started back up the mountain. And he said, so I would ride the train, and when we were approaching the Saluda grade, I would take over because I knew how to get the train with all the freight over the Saluda grade. And he said, that's all I did. I got them over the Saluda grade time and time and time again. I was a specialty engineer. And I thought, that is just so cool. That's so amazing. But it was also so needed. So maybe that's what we need to do for those who hate their lives. We just help them get over the mountain. Help them any way we can. Sometimes it's just being there, helping them. And as we're doing that, we realize Jesus is there. Jesus is there for those in the midst of hating their lives. And I think Jesus is also with those who have no purpose, who cannot find a purpose, who have no reason to wake up and get out of bed every morning and to continue in the task of living. Jesus speaks to that in verse 27. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I've come to this hour. Jesus understood perfectly, clearly his purpose to come to the hour of his death, to come to the hour of his crucifixion, to come to that hour and to face it, and then the great and glorious good news of the resurrection. Jesus understood the reason and the purpose for why he was there. And I think that in our present age in which we live, I think in the present world in which we live, that a lot of people feel like they're just cogs in the machine of all the things that are taking place, and that they have no reason and no purpose. And sometimes we try to fill that with entertainment, with things that divert us. We have a little cat named Antsy Gray. Antsy Gray is an interesting little cat. He's not so little now. He's gotten to where at 4 a.m. in the morning, he jumps on me in the bed. And he starts jumping and playing on me and doing all this stuff, waking me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I know that he's got food in his bowl. I know he's got water. I know he's perfectly fine. He's just bored. That's all it is. He's like, you've been in the bed long enough. I want to play. And so he just wants to play and play and jump around and bounce around and do all this sort of stuff as if, I've got to do something. I'm in this apartment. I got to do something. And y'all been in the bed too long and I got to play. I think so many times people have no reason, no purpose, sometimes fill it with things that divert our attention from true things. People are hunting for a reason, hunting for a purpose. Certain groups in our society, in our world, are very good at finding those people, very good at finding those people and reaching out to them and telling them, come be with us, and you will have a reason, you will have a purpose. And that is very appealing to people, very appealing to some people. So where is Christ in the midst of this? Christ is right there. with that person who feels they have no reason and no purpose. If we are looking for Christ, let's go to those people because Christ is there with them. Christ had a reason, had a purpose to reach out and to be the Savior and the Redeemer of those who feel that their lives no longer matter, that their lives have never mattered, that they have no reason, they have no purpose for living. Christ is right there. Christ expects us to be there as well and to say, you belong. You have a reason. You have a purpose. You belong. You're part of the family of God. I believe also that Christ is there, those people who are seeking a true voice. You know, the Word of God speaks out once Christ has said, I've come to this hour. And then Christ says, Father, glorify your name. Glory to God. And then the voice from heaven says, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. And the people are confused. They don't know, is this God's voice? What did we hear? And some people said, nah, it's just thunder. And other people said, it was an angel. They're not quite ready to say that it is Yahweh, that it is the voice of God speaking. They're not quite ready to say that it is the true voice of all voices. The world is hungry for that true voice, the true voice of clarity, the true voice of God's presence. At annual conference, you know, we meet as United Methodists around the state. We meet once a year. We're meeting in Greenville this year, 1st of June. Our bishop presides over the meeting, and we discuss issues of the church, and we pass things about the church and set budgets and set the appointments. You know, appointments are for 1 year at a time. And so we set those appointments too. And so we also debate things. And it breaks my heart sometimes when I see people that I've known my whole time in ministry debating current issues in the life of the church, current issues in the life of Christianity, current issues that affect our world. The church debates those issues as well. And I see fellow colleagues disagreeing with one another in friendly Christian fashion, disagreeing with one another. Well, they really do. They disagree with one another. And it breaks my heart, not because we're in debate, not because we're in dialogue, but because I say, but the world needs the voice. The world doesn't need to hear the voice of confusion. We are confused as the church. And I know that's a part of the transition. It's a part of who we are. We're humans operating the church. But the world is hungry for that voice, that true voice. We want to say, where is Jesus? He's with those who are seeking that voice, that clarity in the midst of all things. The main point of this passage, I think, is that if we want to see Jesus, that we are there with those who are also seeking, those who are hurting, those who are feeling as though their life needs guidance. If we are there with them, then we will find that Jesus has already beat us there, that Jesus is there. Then we will encounter Jesus as well. I believe that we'll also find our voice. I preached from this passage back in 2006. It was my first Sunday back in the pulpit after my wife had passed away on March 15th. And so it was right at the 1st of April. I was out for 2 weeks after she passed away. And then I came back and I preached in the pulpit. And when I got up in the pulpit to make the announcements, before I could make the announcements, the congregation gave me a standing ovation. And I didn't know what they were doing. I thought, why are they standing and clapping? What is going on? I couldn't figure it out. Then I thought, oh, because I'm back, you know, that I'm here. And I thought it was so very sweet and so very wonderful. The Ides of March, that morning when I woke up, I knew that that would be the day of her death. And that morning when I opened my eyes, I just heard a voice saying, beware the Ides of March, straight from Shakespeare. So on this March 15th, while I was here for the Iron Man Bible study, I got a phone call from Sue, and she said that Mr. Pete had died. And I thought, beware the Ides of March. But you know, no matter what, we know that God is with us, and we know that the presence of God is always real. That Sunday when I preached that sermon in front of that congregation, my first Sunday back after the death of my wife, I read this statement from Paul Claudel, and I thought it was so very important. It said, Jesus did not come to explain away suffering or to remove it. He came to fill it with his presence. To fill it with his presence. If we want to know where is Jesus, go to where there's suffering, and there we will find Jesus. How is your Lent going? Are you finding Jesus as we journey together toward the cross? Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you for your blessed presence. We thank you that as we come to seek you, that we know that your presence is there where there is suffering. Allow us to be there as well. Allow us to represent you in the world where you are. As we give glory to God in all things. This we pray in Christ's most holy name. Amen.